And the Holy Spirit. Well, welcome to Palm Sunday. Certainly one of our more unique services. We begin with the celebration of the triumphal entry, and soon after we find ourselves crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And as you may have noticed, I went very traditional, and you got to hear the whole story. So often we will shorten it because it's more convenient. Brothers and sisters, as we begin Holy Week, you could really look at this service as the trailer for what's to come. We begin Holy Week in great celebration with the triumphal entry, and within the first 30 minutes or so, we are already at the foot of the cross with the crucified Jesus. And as we make our way through the week, we will then, in great detail, spend time liturgically and in prayer looking at each step along the way. The beauty of that is when we come to Easter, the great celebration, which by the way is Saturday night. We do it again on Sunday. It means something different to us. What we do is experiential. And what we do is intentional. And I suspect, or at least I hope, that you yourself had had an experience just this morning getting to this point of understanding. The joy, the chatting, and the laughter out front to dead silence at the foot of the cross. It matters that we take this time to remember. It matters that in the midst of what we are seeing here today, we perhaps look at the most important line to me this morning out of Luke. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." You're used to hearing him say different things from the cross, depending on which gospel you're reading. But in Luke, he just says, "Here I am." And then we hear in Philippians where Paul picks up on that same theme. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And I have to tell you, ever since I arrived here, there's been this sermon running through me. And as I sat contemplating this morning and what would I preach on, it returned to me. And it comes in a very familiar phrase to you all. Holy Innocents, a church on track with Jesus. Now you may be wondering what I'm talking about at the moment. Here's my first question. I wasn't here when that developed. So I discovered in the middle of my contemplation, are we on the train or are we the train? And if we're going to be on the tracks, then I assume that we are the train. If we were just going to be on the train, we'd be on the train with Jesus. Amen? So we're on track with Jesus. That's what we proclaim. And we have, and I see evidence, don't take that wrong. We have this shield and the little tracks run up the bottom and they go into the horizon. And I think that's a very important thing for us to note, by the way. This concept of being on track with Jesus from the perspective of being this train, I wonder if you've thought about that, maybe not as much as I have, perhaps I have too much free time, but all I could think about is this is a very obedient group of people that are going to be on track with Jesus. So we are somewhat familiar with trains around here, and here's a few things we know about that. If you are on the track, you go where the track goes. You don't decide to go left or right. I never see trains going backwards. They may be back and forth hooking up more cars, but they're usually moving in a direction. And the other thing is, they don't stop till they get there. We know that because we sit out here at these crossings all the time watching them go by, right? I mean, they warn us with their horns, and we sit and we wait. The whole world stops. And most of the trains that come by this track may have two, three people on them, and 100 plus cars of phosphate or whatever else. And the whole world stops. Thousands of people sit and stop and wait while this train goes by. And then we know something else about them if you spend a lot of time near here. If you haven't been near trains a lot, just come hang out here. I don't just hear the trains in my office. I feel them. They aren't smooth at all. If you happen to be out in the yard when a train goes by, that is very obvious. They are not smooth. So we are saying we are on a church on track with, we are a church on track with Jesus, which says to me, we're ready to go wherever he's going. We know that it's not going to be smooth. We know that we aren't going to stop until we get there. We can't turn around. We can't go back. And in the process, we're connected. And watch this. If you are connected on this track with Jesus, if you derail, everyone connected to you derails with you. Amen? And so when I think about a church on track with Jesus, which is not something you hear me say a lot of, because I didn't understand it, and maybe this wasn't what you had in mind when you chose it, I thought about digging out the multiple train whistles that are in my desk drawer, which I've inherited. I found I don't need them. I hear plenty without blowing one at my desk. But this concept to me could be quite amazing if we see it in the context of today. Jesus humbled. Jesus obedient. Jesus in the garden saying, Father, if it's your, take this cup from me, but not your will, or not my will, but yours. He almost went Brian instead of Jesus there. Not my will, but yours, he says. And then he's off to be convicted of really nothing. Really false accusations for the most part. Trumped up charges, you might say. But there he went, and he remained silent throughout all of it, humbly following the plan. Not necessarily embracing it, but humbly following it, knowing that it was the Father's plan. A church on track with Jesus is going to follow the plan. There's really no choice and there's no way out. We need each other to do that. We need to collect more cars. We need to be aware that there will be times when it's not going well. There will be times when it's rough. There will be times in our own spirituality, and there may be times as a community where we have to dig in and say, okay, Lord, we are following. We're on track with you. Although at the moment, about all we can say is we're committed to be on track with you. And we're going to trust. We're going to trust the plan because we've seen evidence that it is a good plan. Amen? We know that God is calling us to do things greater than ourselves. But we also know, and here's the comforting part, he's there with us. So sometimes being on a train, we can be just confident in the calming rhythm of it, right? As it just rolls down the track. We can know that we are safely riding down these tracks, click-clacking along, but we want to be careful that you don't get lulled to sleep. So if you're prone to sleeping on trains, remember, you're not on the train. We are the train. The opportunity before us is tremendous when we claim such a thing as being on track with Jesus. The struggles that will come are guaranteed. But just remember, pretty much nothing stops the train. The whole world will watch the train go by. The whole world will stop for God's plan. We know that because we're about to watch it happen. As we enter into this Holy Week, I would say to you, enter in to Holy Week. Make this journey, this story that we just heard, is yours and mine. A God that came to us in human form, humbly following the plan, gave his life to redeem our lives. We can't do it on our own. Only he could do it for us. And as we work our way toward Easter and all the things that happen around it, all the preparation that may be being made for celebrations and meals and other things, which are all lovely, but they're just not the thing. The thing is Jesus. The goal is a life with him. I don't know where he's going to take us. And quite frankly, I don't care. If he's laying the track, I'm following. If it gets rough, so be it. If somebody starts to derail, grab a hold of them. Because we don't want to lose anybody. We will get where he wants us to be, not where we want to be. If we are in disagreement with the direction Jesus is taking us, we should humble ourselves and just simply say, not my will, but yours. He will do great things, with or without us, quite frankly. The question is, will the church on track with Jesus continue to move with him? I know we will. Just remember, if you are a church on track with Jesus, there is no turning back. If it gets rough, humble yourself. It's not about you. It's about him. If you derail, you'll take somebody with you. Don't take anybody off track. Humble yourself and follow his way. His will, not ours. Amen.